All right, well, let's begin then with our first reading, all the way to the book of Revelation. In the back there, chapter 7 is where we begin today. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribes of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, or any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so here we begin then. We are from chapter 6, toward the end of chapter 6, what we have seen in chapter 6 is the opening of six seals. Remember that the scroll was already set in the hand of the one who sat upon the throne. The lion of the tribe of Judah, who appeared as a lamb, has prevailed to take the scroll and to loose the seals thereof. In chapter 6, then, we have six of those seals unfolded. Now here we move on to chapter 7, and we have a pause in the opening of the seals. And I've told you what my view is on this, that we don't have something here that is chronological necessarily. It is simply what unfolds during the interadvential age. And so there is this ramping up to the final judgment, and of course seven is the number of completion or finality. And here then we are coming to this seventh seal, but before we get there, for the comfort of God's people, there is something that must be done first. Before the finality of God's judgment is unleashed upon the earth, there's something that must be done. And so here are those four angels, and they will be indeed seen a little bit later as the trumpets come after the seals. And those four angels, they're poised, they're ready, they have their judgments prepared, they have their commission, and they are ready to unleash upon the earth the four judgments that they will bring. Notice that I told you last time that there was a separation in the seven between the four and the three. The four is most properly affecting creational items, the items of the created order, the earth and so on. And the three pertain more to more spiritual affairs. So here we have then these four angels. They're held at bay in the four corners of the earth, and they have power, they have commission, they have authority to execute judgment, and they're ready. But then this fifth angel comes, and he has the seal of God upon him. He is indeed the mediator of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he turns to those angels and he says, "Hold up now. Wait a minute. There's something that must be done first." And so this fifth angel appears, and this is the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says with a loud voice to the angels to whom it was given to hurt the sea and the earth. He says to them, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of God." Until there is indeed this redemption aspect of the covenant finalized, until all of the elect have been sealed. And now we're going to take a look at those who are sealed, and we're going to look at them from two different vantage points. The first vantage point is the vantage point of the angel himself, who says, "Stop, so that we can seal them." And when he looks at them, what does he see? He sees 144,000. It's not a literal number. Remember, the number of creation, 4, times the number of God, 3, 12, times 12, square that, and then multiply it times 10, times 10, times 10. And so this 144,000 is indeed the numbered elect that are known only to God. And they will be sealed. They will be kept safe. Their eternity is not in jeopardy. They will be sealed with the seal of God in their foreheads. This is the purview of heaven upon His people, upon God's people. And so from that heavenly vantage point, the Lord sees them as 144,000. 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10. And yet a number that is known most specifically to God, to Christ. And so they are not in danger. They are not in jeopardy. They are not in danger of being somehow lost or not brought to that number. All of the judgments, anything that would stand in the way of them being brought to that number, are held at bay by the command of the angel of the covenant. Stop! No judgments yet until we have sealed the servants of God. Now, in the numbering of them, there have been some that have been confused over that, because they have said this is the elect in Israel. And that's a valid point of view. It certainly is in keeping with the tribes as they're mentioned. But I think that there are markers in the text here that point us away from a literal Israel to the Israel of God, as the Apostle Paul puts it in Galatians 6, which is that church that is known to God Himself. First of all, did you notice that the tribes are not the typical naming, the typical nominal names of the 12 tribes of Israel? I hope you noticed that. Did you notice that Ephraim is not here? Instead, we have the tribe of Joseph. And yet Joseph, we understand, gave birth to two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh is specifically mentioned. Ephraim is not. Did you notice that Dan is not mentioned? Did you notice that Levi is reckoned among the numbering, whereas normally Levi would be left out of the numbering? Now, all of these things point us to particular markers and clues about what God is telling us here. And what the Lord is telling us is that from His point of view, from His perspective, He knows that there are some within the visible church that are apostate, like Dan, who kept not the estate that God had given him. Dissatisfied with that southern portion of the land. And so Dan left his habitation, complaining and murmuring about the inheritance that God had given him, and moved north and rapaciously took a land up in Laish. Remember that? We remember also that Ephraim, that mighty tribe of Ephraim, that was the name for the entire northern kingdom that was given over to idolatry, is not named here. Levi, that tribe that was seemingly left out because they had no inheritance. Note that they are here among the people of God, the priests of God, those ministers of the covenant in the Old Testament. They are not forgotten. And so there are some things here that point us away from a literal understanding to more of a thematic understanding of how God sees the church. Because He sees it in truth. He sees it according to its full number. He sees it not as visible and invisible, but He knows those who are His, and let everyone that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so, from the standpoint of heaven, the 144,000 represent the entirety of the church of Old and New Testament. They will never be lost. Those judgments will be held at bay. The judgments will never touch them so that they might fall from that estate of God's grace. They are forever kept. They have the seal of God upon them. And a seal is an authenticating verification of who they are. I went and got a document from the court just this last week in Chattanooga that had a seal on it. This is from the court. It cannot be gainsaid. These 144,000 have the seal upon them, the seal of God. It cannot be gainsaid. They belong to God, and they will not be lost. So then, John sees the church in a different way, in a more human way. And from that standpoint, then I saw another multitude that no man could number, of every kindred and tribe and tongue, thousands upon thousands, and no one could see how many there were. And they're all clothed in white robes. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so while in some aspects we see this from the divine side, then in some aspects we see it also from the human side. It is a number that no man can name. And so we have then this, what are they doing? Well, first of all, we see their origin. They're from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they stand before the throne. They stand before the Lamb. And they're clothed in white robes. And they have palms in their hands. Well, there's been a lot of ink spilled on the significance of the palms in their hands. We're thinking here then of victory. Palms are the plant that points to victory. The reason Jericho was such a well-fortified city, so successful in repelling every attack that had ever come against it, that they were so secure in their wall. That's why they were thought to be an impregnable city. It was also called the city of the palm trees. because Paul spoke of ultimate, final, and full victory that cannot be gainsaid. And so these have these palms in their hands because of the victory of the Lamb. And what do? They cry to God. They praise Him. Salvation to our God. And then they're joined by the angels and the elders and the four beasts. And so with the entirety of the heavenly host then rises up in praise to God. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and wisdom, honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And for what are they praising Him? What is the action that has been prosecuted here? They're praising Him for the seal of God upon the foreheads of the elect. They're praising Him for the great salvation that He has wrought through Jesus Christ. All right, so then one of the elders says to John, "Who are all these people in white robes, John?" And John's answer is, in effect, "I don't know." He says, "Sir, thou knowest." This is like, you know, you're sitting in your ordination exam and they ask you a question and you don't know the answer. And so you say, "I don't know, let's talk about it." Right? And so John is there and they ask him, or this elder asks him, "Who are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Where'd they come from?" "Sir, thou knowest." "They are those which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The tribulation that John is talking about is that same tribulation that John heard about in the upper room discourse when he said, when Christ said to John and the rest of the apostles, what? "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And we will see these kinds of parallels in the book of Revelation with what Christ has told. This is not some eschatological great tribulation of 7 years. It's they have come out of tribulation. They have come out of the world. They have come out of that place of troubling for the elect of God. But they have been sealed and they have come out of that and they will never be lost. And they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, made them white there. Then verses 15 through 17 speaks about the great reward of those who are sealed. Notice, "They are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, is that not the great desire of every Christian, that we might sit at the feet of God Himself as He sits upon His throne and serve Him day and night in spotless purity that has come from our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be accepted into His presence and He might dwell among us. This indeed is the hope of the covenant. And it's so much better than water skiing, isn't it? You know why I say that? Where'd that come from? Because heaven is not going to be like some of the recreations that we have here upon earth. Heaven is not going to be earth squared or cubed. Heaven is going to be a place where there is a perpetual serving of God in everything that we do. We won't be pursuing our lusts there. Our desires will be changed, and the greatest thing that we could ever desire will be indeed objectified and brought to us. It will be realized as God dwells among us and we before Him and serve Him day and night without tiring, without fear, with the acceptance and purity of our Lord Jesus Christ. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Thus ends the reading then of Revelation chapter 7. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.